How's everybody doing? Good? All right. I was given this topic. The topic is how to be a peacemaker. I thought, wow, that's a huge topic because we are living in a time that's full of conflict. People have different opinions, yeah? And I myself have different opinion within myself. So how do I deliver a topic like how to be a peacemaker? And the verse given to me is Romans 12:18. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Or men here represent not just man, woman, yeah? But another version says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So when Paul was addressing the church, it was facing persecution. Okay, so definitely there was conflict, there was persecution, it was in a hostile environment, but he comes up with this strange word. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So the reality is, he is a realist, okay? He said, if it is possible, he didn't say all the time, but if it's possible, that means as much as possible, try and be at peace with all men. So now the question is, what is, if it's possible to you? Is it 10%, 30%, 90%, or 95%? That's the question you want to ask. But the Lord puts us this word, if it's possible. He has no boundaries because the Lord says the same thing to me. If it's possible, he lives peaceably with me. Within me. Yeah? And then he says, so far as it depends on you. So who takes the ownership? I have to take the ownership. We, the body of Christ, have to take the ownership. Yeah? So now moving forward, I want to look at another verse that in Matthew 5:9, it addresses, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. God is relating the peacemakers. Number one, he said they are blessed. He didn't say they will be rewarded. Okay? He said they are blessed. When you are blessed, there's abundance. There is abundance in blessing. So when you choose to be a peacemaker, abundance flow. And they shall be called sons of God. That means they also call the daughters of God. So when you address the sons and daughters of God, when you operate with the way God wants us to operate, we become sons and daughters. And one of the clear characteristic of a son and a daughter is a peacemaker. That means you are a peace worker. You are an ambassador for peace. It sounds like a big word, but that is the reality. At home, am I a peacemaker? With my friend, am I a peacemaker? At office, am I a peacemaker? That is a question we need to ask ourselves because God says we will be blessed. We will be blessed. He didn't say we'll be okay. We've done well, thumbs up. But we'll be blessed and we'll be called the sons of God. Another verse I'm going to look at is Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. So who is the winner here? Counselor of peace have joy. We are the winner. Because why? We choose to operate in the reflection and the image of God. So who is the winner? We are the winner. And when you talk about a joy, that is the inner joy that the world can't understand. Someone may have a different opinion from you, but nevertheless, you choose not to be in conflict because you want to honor their point of view. So what does the Lord say? You get the joy. Because when you try to straighten their opinion, you get into conflict, then what happened? You lose your joy. And sometimes that can even happen in the church premise. Because you have different point of view, you debate on the way you look at it and the way I look at it, and then you lose your joy. So now come back to blessed are the peacemakers. So I'm seeing that. Now, how does peace look like? Let's look at it. What does peace look like to you? COVID free? No more Delta? Free from any other viruses, bacteria? No more having to use hand hygiene and singing, you know, happy birthday to you a few times so that you get rid of all the viruses? Or rather, peace to you maybe? For me, peace at this moment, I don't have to wear my mask. I don't know about you. Don't you think so? The freedom of not having the mask, that is peaceful itself, isn't it? Yeah? You get to see each other's face, the expression, yeah? And you feel like you don't have to, you know, walk around with an extra gadget on your face. So what is peace to you? Well, when you look at the English dictionary, freedom from disturbance, okay? Freedom from disturbance, confusion, freedom from war. So anything that ruffles you, you become lack of peace. You lack in peace. And then, when you look down, freedom from war, well, the Bible looks at it differently. What does the Bible say? It's more than the absence of conflict. What do we mean by more than the absence of conflict? In the midst of the COVID, while the world is worried, we are rested. In the midst of a diagnosis given by God, we have the peace. He's in charge. In the midst when the children are not honoring you, we have the peace of God because why? He resides in us. So when you look at that, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. If you enter in Israel, when you greet each other, you'll say shalom. And you go around, you'll say shalom. What that shalom means? Wholeness. We understand peace as as no conflict, but shalom means wholeness. You are made whole. You are made complete. And when I think about peace, I think about my Lord. Because He has entered my life at the age of 19, I accepted the Lord. I come from a Hindu background. And when I came to know the true and living God, peace entered my home, entered my heart. So that's why we say that the word shalom gives us wholeness and completeness. Today, as a born again for the past 30 years, walking in the ways of God, learning the ways of God, reflecting and meditating on the ways of God, I have found my completeness and wholeness. And if you look at my family, my mom came to know the Lord at the age of 58. She was Hindu. There was no peace in the home. There's always worry, concerns, which is normal, but over worrying is not normal. She came to know the Lord and she said, "Why didn't you tell me earlier?" My grandfather came to know the Lord in his 80s. He who worshipped the Hindu god and the idols, the gods and the idols, he said, "This is not real." Peace has entered the house when he came to accept the Lord. Then my uncles, all my uncles in their 30s, in their 40s, came to know the Lord. Peace has entered. The one who used to drink stopped drinking. I mean alcohol, not water. Okay, yeah, and the one who, my mom used to buy lottery tickets because she was used to be a close friend with all her Chinese friends and they like to buy lottery tickets and hoping to win a big lottery. Peace has entered her heart, no more. Jesus completes it. The house is paid for, she's all right. Peace has entered. So that's what we mean that when peace entered, we become whole and complete. So what happened is my generation has changed. I am the first generation Christian in my home. Yeah? We have been visiting the Hindu temple, the Chinese temple, the Muslim place, and we've seen astrologer, we've seen the birds, we've seen the papers, we've drank this, drank that, but peace has entered our home. So when peace entered our home, my mom took everything from the altar, put in a plastic bag, brought it down, and left it there, because peace has entered. And ever since, never once reflected on why she, and I never thought she made the wrong move. Today, at the age of 80, she still is involved in the church. She's at the entrance of the church. When people come in, she gives out the bulletin. Because peace has entered her heart. So even when my father died of a cardiac arrest, at the age of 62, despite the pain we had, a sudden loss of my dad, peace was there. I saw my dad only a few days before that. He gave me a big hug. And then, next thing I know, he had a cardiac arrest. And the funny thing is, now that I'm talking to you, I remember, I'm taking this, mom said, better come, dad is not well. I don't know where he is. But the ambulance had brought him, I heard, to the general hospital in Singapore, because I was living in Singapore. I took a taxi, I'm in the taxi, and the Lord is telling me, I've taken your dad home, but all will be alright. And I don't even know that he's passed away. All I know is not well. The Lord gave me that peace and the insight and the revelation of what is going to happen. And I'm the closest among the four children, closest to my dad, but God gave me the peace. So when I saw my dad in that state, it just broke my heart, but the peace of God was there. So that's why I say he's definitely the Prince of Peace. There's no other Prince of Peace. So when you look at that, I'm thinking about the next one. We look at the peacemakers in the Bible. Have you looked at the characteristic of peacemakers, that one? I think we're missing that one. Okay, the characteristic of a peacemaker. So what happens is, how do you become a peacemaker? When you know the Word of God. Because the Word of God reflects. It gets us on the right track. That's the reason why His Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So knowing the Word of God will definitely change your character to be a peacemaker. The other one is meditating on His Word. Psalm 1:3 talks of, blessed are the one who delight in the law of the Lord, who meditates on it day and night. The question is, the first thing it talks about, he delights in the way of the Lord. The peacemakers always delight in the way of the Lord. That means the self dies. But to delight the ways of the Lord is the main goal. And he meditates on it day and night. So what happens is your character, your mind, your soul and your spirit becomes like Christ. The other one we look at is sanctification. When we look at it, when we operate as a peacemaker, God allows situation to come to our lives so that gives us a chance to be a peacemaker. That means, what it means is that, you know, you are becoming more like God. Your heart and mind are renewed. One thing, in order for that to happen, you need to require cooperation. You need to cooperate with God in order for you to let the Lord to be like Him. So it's an ongoing process. The other one, he says, knowing the mysteries of God. When you have the characteristic of a peacemaker, knows the mysteries of God. That means you are able to know things the way God works. And sometimes you may not find a solution to a problem, but you'll be at peace. Because the Lord said, trust me. Maybe He drops the word, trust me. When you hear the word, trust me, you say, okay, I can trust God. Because why? The mysteries of God are amazing. He's a good father. So for instance, I think about this, about in Ephesians 3:5, it talks about which was not made known to people in other generation and is now revealed by the Spirit of God to His holy apostles and prophets. Holy prophets and apostles know the mysteries of God. But we, the children of God, in the New Testament, know the mysteries of God. For instance, He may tell you something before time. He may tell you, okay, for instance, put in your heart the word nursing. Maybe He's speaking to you to do nursing. Or, for instance, for me, I remember one day, I was, we're talking about 20 years ago, I was just doing my quiet time, and the Lord put the word Brian. And the word Brian kept coming to me 3 times. I have no idea who this Brian is. I have no connection with Brian. But nevertheless, I realized one thing. Okay, when the Lord gives you a name or a word or a sentence, I always take it seriously and let Lord reveal to me. So next day when I'm in a meeting, I was in a meeting. This is when I'm teaching the nursing students in Singapore. And then at the meeting, a staff meeting, they were saying, this Brian, we don't know what to do with him. He's really giving us a lot of problems. Then I realized why the Lord gave me the word Brian. And when He gave me that name, so I actually, even though he's not in my class, I went to look for him. I asked my friend, where is he? Then the student said, my colleague said, he's over there. So when I looked at him, he has been failing every year, and this is his last year. So what I did was, because the Lord gave me the word Brian, that means He wanted me to help Brian. So what happened is, then I went to him and I said, Brian, I know you don't know me, and I don't know you, and I don't teach you, but nevertheless, because my Lord told me to follow you, I'm willing to help you through with your studies. So every week, He will wait outside of the staff room. And then what He will do is He'll wait for me to mentor him with his studies. And when I did that, what happened is, because I honored the Lord, eventually he passed, he completed, he joined the military as a medic. So that's what I'm saying, is that the peacemaker that the Lord is expecting of us brings about blessing to others. Yeah? And then don't get into strife and allow people to have their opinion. I heard once Victoria Austin said about Joel Austin. She said both of them were in a function. And this man approached them. He spoke. He shared views on a certain topic, even though it was not what Joel understood, but through it all, he smiled and he nodded. Smile and nod. And then when he left, Victoria said, did you agree with everything he said? He said, no. Then he said, I see you smiling and nodding. And then, you know what he answered? It is not my responsibility to fix him. He let him have his opinion. I'm there just to be a listener, an active listener to his opinion. Yeah? So that's the characteristic of a peacemaker. Next one I'm going to cover is Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulder, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So, Prince of Peace. So when I think about Prince of Peace, I'm thinking about the people in the Bible that reflected the peace. For instance, we'll start with Joseph. When we start with Joseph, when we look at Joseph, out of the 12 sons, the father loved him most. Nevertheless, so the father gave him a colored cloak, but his brothers were jealous. Because the brothers were jealous, they sold him to slavery. And so what happened? He took a road of being rejected. But despite that, what happened is he still honored the Lord. He was rejected. He was hurt. He was abused, you could say. But he honored the Lord. And because his ways honored the Lord, so what happened? The God honored him. So when you are a peacemaker, God will honor you. And how will God honor you? In this case, he promoted him to be the prime minister of Egypt. If you want to be the prime minister of this country, I suggest you take this word seriously. Because God will appoint men and women who are peacemakers into higher levels. Another thing is, he had the gift of interpretation of dreams. So the Lord not just gave him an appointment, he also gave him giftings. That's one thing that we talk about Joseph. The other one I'm going to look at is, the other one I'm talking about, the servant girl. Okay? The servant girl is what I'm going to talk is that she, okay, Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was an honorable man, and in the eyes of the master, the Lord had favor for him, but he had leprosy all over his body. So what happens there is that the Lord uses a girl that works for him. She became a captive, a young girl working for him and his wife to become the mouthpiece. So who is the hero? Somebody not known, no appointment, a servant girl become the peacemaker to the king. So that's how God works. God uses weak, small, not even noticed people to become peacemakers. So what happened is she set the king free from leprosy. She said, go where to go. She told him where to go and meet the prophet Elisha. So the very fact that you look at it, if you want to be a peacemaker, you don't necessarily have to have an appointment in the world. He uses anybody and everybody. Another person in the Bible that was a peacemaker, which is of the obvious, we can think is the father of the prodigal son. When the father of the prodigal son in Luke 15, 17 to 20, he said to the son was so clear, he said, I spent it all. I wasted all. He recognized his mistake. And what, I'm no longer worthy to call your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Because the son recognized the things he had done. But the father was such an excellent peacemaker. He didn't just give him a hug. He honored him. He gave him that belongs to him. He ran. He fell on his neck and kissed him. So what happened is, when you operate as a peacemaker, the spirit of compassion comes about. You are forgiving, there's grace, you show mercy. Because peacemakers just operate in that realm. And the other one I'm going to talk about is definitely about Jesus. When you look at Matthew 8, 23, 27, when you look at the disciples, suddenly had a great, you saw the storm. And in that waves, Jesus was asleep. And when Jesus was asleep, they all confused why he's asleep. So the question is, because the Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. That means Jesus is in us, operating in us and through us. So what happens is then, Jesus comes to see, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And then, he stands up, he wakes up from his sleep, and there is peace. So if you look at it, constantly, when we operate with the Prince of Peace, we are blessed. Even in a stormy environment, we will find peace. So those are the four people that I talked about regarding maintaining the peace. So if you look at it, when you maintain peace, there is compassion. When you maintain peace, there's forgiveness. When you maintain peace, there's grace. When you maintain peace, you are promoted. When you maintain peace, you are given gifts from God. When you maintain peace, I guess, people just want to be around you. Yeah? Does that make sense? Yeah. Now, having said that, when You can't. There are moments when, if possible, it starts with if possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men, if it's possible. At the same time, in the Bible, we do see when peace becomes a challenge. Maintaining peace becomes a challenge. Okay? And now, this is something that you need to question yourself. Are you sitting in this category? Okay? And maybe you're thinking, oh, I think I should have just maintained peace and be quiet. But when you look at King David in 2 Samuel, you see, you look at it, he had it all. So Nathan tells him, I gave your master's house to you. Nathan, this is Nathan talking to David. You are a man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. I anointed you the king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and the master's wife into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And he goes on, and then he says that now you're not honoring, your ways are not honoring the Lord. So what happened was, the way I look at it, sometimes we can live in sin and be peaceful with sin. We're comfortable with sin because of the culture we live in. Our personal culture or the culture of the environment. But in this environment, Lord graciously allowed this Nathan prophet to speak to the unhealthy peace that David was having. So that's the reason why, you see, he spoke to him, and then David recognized that he was not sitting in the right spot. So what happens is, if you are a peacemaker, you will be able to influence life. You will guide life, you will influence life. The other one we look is Esther. When you look at the book of Esther, the hero I really love about Esther is Mordecai. Okay, he's such a hero because it starts that Mordecai is definitely got lots of compassion. He looked after Esther, even though she's an orphan child, but he looked after her like his own. Okay, so the same kind of culture he adopted. He always cared for people. So what happened is he had a big influence to help Esther to save the Jewish people. So when you think about that, he was not afraid to speak the truth. So when you look at the in that part for Esther, in the book of Esther 3, 1 to 6, all the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai would not kneel down or pay his honor. Now that is going to ruffle the king. The king now. So when coming back to Esther, Mordecai, okay, he did not pay honor to the king. He recognized the king was not doing the right things. He recognized the king was evil. So what happened is he didn't want to lessen the truth. So what he decided is, he decided not to be a peacemaker in this instance with the king. Because he recognized if he agreed with the king, then what happens? The peace of the Jewish people will be gone. He was interested in the peace of the Jewish people because the Jewish people would be destroyed. So there are moments in life you need to take time to meditate and reflect. What is God speaking? You don't want to make peace with the evil one. Yeah? Alright, so that's for Mordecai. So now I'm looking at Jesus. When I look at Jesus, I'm thinking, wow. Oh, that's too early. Yeah. Now we look at Jesus. Jesus cleanses the temple. John 2, 13 to 16. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen, sheep, and the money changers doing business. And he had made a whip of cords. He drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out changers, money and overturned the table. And he said to those who sold
Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Then the disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus was not going to shake hand that something that is not right in the house of God. If it's not right, there's lack of ethics, lack of morality, not in the house of God, in any environment, Jesus is not going to shake hands with that. That's why he was not afraid to overthrow things that is not right. So from here we learn, when there's immorality, lack of ethics, practices that is not in line with God, then it is okay to speak up so that people can be saved. They're guided. Okay? So now I'm coming to my last slide. I just thought I'll show you some of the key people that became heroes because they exercised peace. One is, we talk about, is Mother Teresa, the picture of Mother Teresa. She won the Nobel Peace Prize. And her words there was, works of love are works of peace. Works of love are works of peace. She's an Albanian woman, and what she did was she picked up people from the street, and she was always into feeding them, giving them food. Imagine if you did not give food, how will people have peace? If you all were hungry, you think you'll be peaceful? You won't. But that's what she did. And she won the Nobel Prize for her life. Another person I'm going to talk about is Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer said easily, she was raped easily more than 200 times by her own father. Sexually, mentally, and emotionally abused by her own father. But then, because the Prince of Peace have come to her heart, so she has decided she's going to honor her father back. She forgive her father. She make peace with her own father. And because she make peace with her own father, I can see one thing. There's a correlation with Joseph. She became someone we all know, a famous preacher. Joseph became the Prime Minister of Egypt. Same way, because he operated in God's way. God honored Joseph, same way he honored Joyce Meyer. So, she showed mercy and forgiveness because she had peace. She became a peacemaker. And to end, I'm going to talk about Martin King Luther. And here he says, peace is not merely a distant goal that we seek, but a means by which we arrive at that goal. It's by means at which we arrive at that goal. So that means you come with the intention to make peace. You don't plan conflict, then make peace, but you come with the intention to be a peacemaker. And he was a civil rights legend, American Baptist minister. He promoted equal rights among the African American, and he worked hard at ending racial discrimination. So for today, I will say, indeed, if it's possible, you and I will have to work at becoming a peacemaker. I'll end my sermon here. Thank you.
Thank you, Shanti. Could I just have the prayer team come forward, please? Are you guys going to sing a song?